Would you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start. This portion of the study we are going to do today is one of the most controversial, most frequent argument within the realm of Christianity. Among the denominations, they have a different doctrine regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some are willing to divide the body of Christ just to prove that their denominational doctrine and rules and regulations are correct. And they don't have a bit of problem, and they say they are right. Are they? We should ignore the man's traditions and denominational rules and regulations. We need to follow what the Bible says. Amen? Before we begin our study, let's clarify the difference between the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. Okay? It is very important for us to know. Otherwise, this distinction has become blurry and muddled while in our mind. First, the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. Given the moment a person believes in Christ, this gift is the Holy Spirit Himself. John 14, 16 and 17, Luke 11, 13, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. I'm not going to read it to you. I expect you to go home and study this. Make sure I'm speaking the truth, okay? Don't trust me. Second one is the fruit of the Spirit. I said the fruit, not fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is revealed within us while we live for the Lord. What is that, the fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love. Within the fruit of the Spirit, love, there are many aspects, such as joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23a. I'm sure you have heard some preachers and pastors and teachers say the fruit of the Spirit, and then they list out 9 different things. It's not. When you look at the verb in Greek, it's a singular. It means only one. It's like a diamond, and there's a many different facets. Are you with me? And these different facets, when you add joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, when you put them all together, become love. Understand? And Holy Spirit plant the seed in all believers' heart, so that each of us has the ability to produce this fruit, love. Third thing that I want to bring to your attention is the gifts of the Spirit that we are going to study. Carried out through us, spiritual gifts are skills, abilities, and instruments that God gives us to benefit the whole body, the church, not a person. No bragging sessions allowed. Using your gift, God-given gift, whatever that is, should bless not only others, but also you, because your gift will allow you to express your personality and deepest desire to serve the Lord. Bottom line, for the Lord. The exercise of our spiritual gift is always a satisfying and enjoyable experience. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11, Paul gives us a solid understanding of the spiritual gift. And he focuses not so much on the gift itself, but on how and why gifts together produce full and sound and rich result in harmony. Let's stop and pray. Father, we come to you because you are the God of truth. You are the God of sound doctrine, and you do not give us confusion. There's a lot of voices, a lot of doctrines, a lot of argument regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we do not want to hear what the man says or the denomination says, but we want to hear from you through your word. Clear our heart. Give us a clean mind and wisdom to understand exactly what you have in mind. Father, teach us. Our hearts open, our spirits open to receive your truth. Father, asking your anointing upon our hearts and anointing upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, I also pray that your will be done in our president and the leaders in this country. Father, we are asking you, your justice, your truth to be revealed in this election. There are a lot of hindrance trying to twist the result of the election from evil people. Father, asking you to clarify all that. And we also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, and keep them safe. Another officer got killed in the line of duty, Father. Comfort their families and their friends. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1 of chapter 12 of verse 1, please. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Would you note that word, please, ignorant? You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The word ignorant comes from the Greek word agnaio, which means knowable or not known. We get the English word agnostic from this word. However, when it comes to discovering and exercising the spiritual gift that God has given us, there's no place for ignorance. Are you with me? Don't say, well, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. You just do not know that you have. You need to know that what kind of spiritual gift you have and why you are given with that spiritual gift. You most likely you have more than one. You just don't know. Paul, in his letters, there are three things he does not want Christian to be ignorant. Not just 1 Corinthians, in all of his 13 letters. First one is, don't be ignorant of God's plan for Israel. Romans 11:25. Do not be ignorant with God's plan for Israel. Second one is that do not be ignorant of a spiritual gift. Chapter 12 and chapter 14 of the 1 Corinthians talks exclusively about the spiritual gift. Third item is don't be ignorant about the second coming of Jesus and eternal state. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Do not be confused with the second coming with the rapture. Sadly, so many Christians are confused and ignorant all these three points. They don't know what the second coming, they don't know what the rapture is, and they don't care for the spiritual gifts. If you have a spiritual gift, and they use it without thinking. If they don't have it, they think that it's all past sentence. And they discard Israel. Remember, folks, Israel is God's chosen people, whether you like it or not. And Christian who stand against Israel is, you are walking on dangerous ground. Because God said it very clearly in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. If you want to be in the side of the cursing from God, go for it. Don't pull me into that area. The majority of Christian past teachings and experience have perhaps built a poor understanding of the Holy Spirit and His gift. By the way, Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. It's not It's not force. So you can say, the force be with you. That's one of the stupid things that people will say. Holy Spirit is a person and very much God. And it's He. It's easy for us to take the materialistic and superstitious view into our understanding of the spiritual gift. Whether they like to admit it or not, the main denominations, if you're from Baptist or the one I'm going to list, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Episcopalians, they treat like a spiritual gift, like a leprosy or dog's poop. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to talk about it. They just ignore it. And somehow, however, one of the good examples is Pastor John MacArthur. I admire that man. He's a Greek scholar. But when it comes to the spiritual gift, he already set his mind because, according to his Baptist, Southern Baptist denomination, and he tried to ignore it every possible way he can. Same thing with Dr. Warren Wiersbe or Charles Windows. They all phenomenal teachers, they write on the word, but except one area. Dispensationalism as well as the Holy Spirit gift. With that, they follow their denomination rules. Why is that? Is the denomination rules override the Word of God? Anyway, so that side of the group, the Baptist, main denomination people, they will try to ignore the word, the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially speaking in tongue and the prophecy and the healing, all of that. Our dear brother, Jerry Hamby, he was a Baptist for 30 years, and he got hurt in, 50 years. Thank you. 50 years, hardcore Baptist. And he got hurt. And we lay hands on him and pray for him. He got instantly healed. And from then on, he's no longer Baptist. He's a Calvary Chapelite. He cannot argue about the no more healing, but I'm kind of healed. And then there's the other side of the spectrum. Charismatic denominations. Remember, I'm an equal opportunity offender. So stay with me. Assembly of God. Folk Square Church. And Pentecostal. Any denomination has a charismatic flavor. And they would encourage, push, and exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit without guideline within the Word of God. There, whether you believe or not, there's a guideline how we are supposed to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Especially talking about in chapter 14. All this misunderstanding comes from two things. Very important. Two things. They do not keep what the Bible says in context. Can somebody say in context? Remember, if you don't study the Word of God in context, you are looking at the pretext. You can make a cult out of doing that. Second point. They put their denomination rules and regulations over the Word of God. Again, which one is more important, their rules or Word of God? All right, verse 4, please. There are diversities of gift and the same Spirit. And there are the difference of the ministries, but the same Lord. And there are the diversities of the activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Did you notice? Go back to the verse 4. Same Spirit. And then verse 5, at the end, the same Lord. And in verse 6, same what? Is God trying to speak to us? Do you get the point? One God. Same God. The Apostle Paul lists the 9 spiritual gifts here in the rest of the scripture verses. And more in other places. There is indeed a diversity of the gift. Yet there is only one gift giver. One gift giver who works through the diverse gifts. The Greek word for the activities, I probably will butcher this, I'll do my best, energema. And where we get our word energy, energetic, and energize from it. It is a word active and miraculous power. Activities is the same words as the working in the verse 10. In this chapter. Are you following me? Are you with me on that? The working of the miracles. The difference of the activity means that God displays and pours out his miraculous power in different ways, but it is always the same God who is doing the work. Okay. Next verse, verse 7, please. In verse 7, Paul teaches us the rich truth why God gives us spiritual gift. Why? Here it is. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Underline, highlight, circle the word profit of all. It is very important for us to find and understand which one is the key verse in the Bible study, the portion of your Bible study. Always look for the key verse. In this portion, from verse 1 through 11, there's a two verses, verse 7 and verse 11. We just read. Each member of God's family has given a spiritual gift or gifts that, when exercised, manifest by the Holy Spirit. For what? Derived from the Greek word, somphero, this means a prophet to bring up, bring together or to lift up. It brings a profit to the whole body. So the Holy Spirit is always present in and among Christians. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He may abide with us forever, according to John chapter 16, verse 14:16. If you are born again Christian. If you are not born again Christian, you do not have a Holy Spirit in you. There's three things about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with us, Holy Spirit is in us, and Holy Spirit upon us. Do you know the difference? In case you don't know, I'm going to explain to you. Holy Spirit is among us. Holy Spirit is with us. Because He is omnipresent God, He is with us. You following me? He can be everywhere at the same time, just like the two persons in the Trinity, Jesus and God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is in us. It only happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit comes in us, reside with you until you go to heaven. And then Holy Spirit is upon us. It can happen to anyone whom He chooses to use. Another word that you can use is Holy Spirit upon us is empower us. You with me? And don't be excited. And you think that you are special because the Holy Spirit is upon us and He's empower you and using you to do something. God used the donkey to speak to the prophet. I'm just glad that He is willing to use me, and whatever He does, fine with me. In us, with us, upon us. Can you say that with me? In us, with us, and upon us. You know the difference now? You want me to explain again? Yes, no. All right, let's continue. The purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit is to benefit the whole church family, not just a particular individual, certainly not to brag about the gift we receive as if we have anything to do with it. Bragging about the spiritual gift only shows the immaturity of that person. If you have to brag, brag about the gift giver. Amen? All right, go down to verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift to healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of the miracle, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the Spirit, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Let me say one more time, as He wills. Say it with me, as He wills. Again, as He wills. And you're thinking, why you do that? I will explain. Let's go over this 9 gift one at a time. You have a time until 2:00, right? The word of wisdom. This is the unique ability to speak forth of the word of God, wisdom of God, especially in the important situation as shown in the Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and Paul in Acts chapter 23. You guys know the Stephen speaking to the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, encountering them with the truth of God about Jesus Christ. In chapter 23, Apostle Paul speaking to the Sanhedrin, again speaking about Jesus Christ. Second gift we see is the word of knowledge. The unique ability to declare the knowledge which could only be revealed supernaturally. As shown in Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 and Paul, Acts chapter 27. And Jesus was speaking about his death and resurrection in Matthew 17. We need to understand the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. One may have a great knowledge, even a supernatural knowledge, but yet that person may not have a wisdom from God in application of that knowledge. If I have a choice, which one would I rather have between the knowledge of God or wisdom of God, I will take a wisdom any day. Remember what the Word of God says, the knowledge pops up, but the love builds up. Third gift, the gift of faith. The faith is the essential part of every Christian's life. Gift of faith is a unique ability to trust God against the all odds, as the Peter's did when he walked out of the boat into the water in Matthew 14. Another mighty example of a gift of faith is a Christian leader, philanthropist George Mueller, who is in 19th century England, provided thousands of orphans completely in prayer without even asking one penny to anybody for donations. I think the televangelists should take a hint from them. Never ask for a penny. Fourth thing is a gift of healing. This is God's healing power, where either given or received, and has been repeatedly documented in the Old Testament and since. It is the power which a particular time the apostle received from the Holy Spirit to cure disease. It is the power do not reside in the person, because Paul could not cure Timothy, who had a bad tummy problem. At the same time, Paul could not cure himself when he had his thorn in the flesh. God pretty much told him, grace is sufficient to you, live with it, boy. Why did he have that problem? Because the revelation was given to him that is far beyond any people, and to keep him humble, he is allowed to have a thorn in the flesh. It was only given to the person temporary base, and for the extraordinary occasion, though perhaps more general than any others. All right, go to the working of a miracle. That's another gift. Literally, dunamis, or the act of power. The Greek word dunamis, that's where we get the English word dynamite, power. This described when the Holy Spirit chooses to override the law of nature, working in and through an available person. Gift of healing and working a miracle often operate in conjunction with the gift of faith, as in Acts chapter 3. We've seen some people's lives, healing happen, and when that person is not supposed to be healed, but that person is about to die, it happens. And how does that work? God? Doctors cannot explain. Modern science cannot explain. Why doesn't he do that all the time? I have no idea. It's a wave of my pay grade. I just do what he tells me to do. When I see people who have an illness, I pray for them. I ask for God's healing upon them. But at the same time, I finish my prayer with not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes I see that person die. Sometimes God healed that person. Why? I don't know. In his infinite wisdom, he does what he does. I just have to leave it at his feet, and knowing that he knows what he's doing. These things are not done in the whim of an individual, as if the power to heal or work the miracle at the permanent base. Benny Hinn should stay here and listen to this. He act like as if he's the healer. And he even said that his ministry is a healing crusade ministry. There's a Greek word for that, right? You know that, right? Hogwash. Gift of prophecy. The telling forth of God's message in particular situation, always in accord with His word, God's word, and God's current work. Sometimes this has a character of foretelling the truth, as in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 27. If somebody come to you and he said, I have a prophecy for you, and he's telling you that is contradicting to the word of God, ignore that person. As a matter of fact, you can tell that person, get behind me, Satan. Because God will never contradict this word. Are you with me on that? He even put this word before his own name. How important the word of God is to him. And should we take this seriously? Yes, you betcha. Seventh gift of the Spirit is a discerning spirit. The ability to tell the difference between the true and false doctrine, and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. I list all those things for you. I expect you to go home and read it and make sure I'm speaking the truth. Satan appeared as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan declares with a false and tempting message, Genesis 2. There can be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet, 1 Kings chapter 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Satan can speak right after God speaks, Matthew 16. And you're wondering, what are you talking about? Peter said, you are the Son of God. And then he turned around and don't go up to Jerusalem. And you shouldn't die, pretty much, I'm paraphrasing. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Sometimes people who seem to say the right things are really from the devil, Acts 13 and 16. And it is important to test the word of anyone who claims to speak for God, 1 John 4. And Satan can work deceiving miracle, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 13. By the way, there is a Christian illusionist, and I've seen him one time. He is very good at it, his illusion. And he said, Satan cannot perform the miracle. And he contacted me, can I come over to your church? I said, no. You know why? Because he just declared the word of God is not correct. If I have to choose between his illusion and the word of God, he doesn't stand a chance. Devil will try to infiltrate the church with a false teacher, Jude 4, 2 Peter 2. I expect you to check them out. All right, speaking of tongue, different kind of tongues. The gift of tongue is a personal language of praise and prayer given by God, whereby the believers can communicate with God beyond the limit of the knowledge and understanding. When using gift of tongue, we know that the Holy Spirit prayed through us, though we may not understand what we are speaking, but God does. How many of you guys are speaking in tongue? How many of you guys have that gift? Raise your hand. It's okay. You are all weirdos. No, I'm not. Just kidding. I'm speaking in tongue too. Tongue have an important place in the devotional life of believers. But a small, small place in corporate life of the church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and especially the public setting, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The ability to pray in unknown tongue is not a gift given to everyone. You with me? So if you don't speak in tongue, it is just fine. You are the believers of Jesus Christ without a doubt. You just don't have that gift. I'm sure you have the better gift or different gift than mine. And the ability to pray in tongue is not the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit, as the charismatic denomination tells you. This emphasis has led the charismatic denomination Christian to seek the gift of tongues and even to counterfeit it. That's a very dangerous thing. When I was a baby, brand new born-again Christian, we were attending Foursquare Church. To them, speaking in tongues is all about everything. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're just speaking in tongues. So I asked them, how do I do that? He said, just make a noise. I thought, really? Yeah, eventually the Lord gave me the gift of the speaking in tongues. But that's not the way God operates. If you don't have it, ask God, if you can have it, you should have it. Ask God to give you this prayer language, the gift of speaking in tongue. And there are times when you are too, the prayer request too much, you don't know how you should pray for or know what you should pray for. You start speaking in tongue. You praise God through your tongue and pray. It's wonderful. I have no idea what I was speaking, but it edifies me because I know I'm speaking in perfect language that God understands. And some of you think, if I pray in just plain old English, does it mean that God is not listening? Absolutely, He listened to you. He listened to my broken English. So He know your heart. Are you with me on that? If you speak from your heart, honestly, according to His will, your prayer request will be done. Don't let anyone look down on you because you don't speak in tongue. And don't let anyone tell you you're not filled with the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongue. It's very unfortunate. The last one we see here is the gift of interpretation of tongue. This gift allows the gift of tongue to be benefit to those other than the speaker, as they are able to hear and agree with the tongue speaker's word to God. We will study more about the speaking in tongue as well as the interpretation of tongue in chapter 14. So based on what we just learned and others, Romans 12, chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, we can sort the spiritual gift into the following categories. Number one, support gift, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastor, teachers, and teaching. By the way, John MacArthur and Warren Wiersbe and Chuck Swindoll, they all believe in this pastor, teacher, and gift of teaching because they have it. But for the gift of healing and speaking in tongue, service gift, administration, exhortation, faith, giving, helps, and showing mercy. Sign gifts, discerning of the spirit, miracle, healing, tongue, and interpretation of tongue. And some of you are thinking, you must be OCD to categorize all this. Yes, I am. Through these verses, we can focus on the list of gifts, but Apostle Paul does not. He is not concerned about the gift of this tongue, gift of the Holy Spirit like we do, the way we do. Since he does not give a detailed information to the First Corinthian people, obviously these people know what they are. But they just exercise wrong way. Here another reason for the unity and reason against any sense of superiority regarding the gift. They are distributed not according to will of man, but as the will of the Holy Spirit of God. As he will. Remember? Say with me, as he will, as he wills. So the gift of the healing and the gift of other gift comes and go as the Holy Spirit determines. He disposes them as he sees us to use. And many charismatic Pentecostal teachers put heavy emphasis on the spiritual gifts, especially in speaking in tongue, much like an immature Corinthian Christians. And we will see the Apostle Paul say, I speak more tongues than any of you. Three applications. Number one, being aware of our spiritual gift is pleasing to God. God does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gift. So we need to study them closely in context. Are you with me? How you study? In context. And don't you ever trust me that I said the truth here. Go home and study. Second application. Being willing to use our gift is a constructive to the whole body of Christ. It is not for us to brag. It's not for individual. It's the whole body. We get blessed. Let me put it this way. True blessing. Listen carefully. True blessing comes when you are used by God for others. While you serve others, you are the one who get blessed. In the middle of the, after the worship session, our worship pastor Al came to me and he asked me, "We are so blessed." Remember, Al? You told me that? So I said, "Yeah, when you're a channel and conduit of God's blessing, you get more blessed than other people." Third application. Being satisfied with our gift is an honor to its giver. In other words, do not long for the gift you do not have. Exercise according to God's way for the gift you have. You know, I was watching them playing. One time they were doing jam session with a harmonica player. They just pick it up like this, and they know exactly how the chord progression is going, and they're just having a good old time. And I was thinking, I wish I can play like that. I wish I can sing like that. But Al cannot draw like I do. He have a hard time making a stick figure and running. Do not be jealous of the gift that you don't have, but bring glory to God with the gift you have. Amen? All right, let's stand up and pray.